The light of guidance, 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 the light of guidance.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا سيدي يا حبيبي يا رسول الله صلى الله على محمد نور من نور الله مرحبا خوش آمدید welcome to one and all to another beautiful and exciting silsila of our brand new series The Light of Guidance Subhanallah Subhanallah Alhamdulillah This is a very unique series as we discussed that we will be discussing some many beautiful and various different topics most importantly for the youngsters and the youth of today's time because they have lots of misunderstandings and doubts in their hearts and minds so inshallah azawajal in this series we will try and cover majority of their difficulties and we will try to remove many of their misunderstandings subhanallah Previously, we discussed the excellence of reciting durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed, we learned that that is one of the methods we can use and one of the methods we should use to instill the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts and to increase the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For indeed, the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the base of our iman and the essence of our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the haqiqi love of his beloved Habib sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, we as human beings are the greatest creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created human beings as ashraful makhluqat, the best of creations. I mean, if there was any form better for a human body than the form we are in at the moment, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have chosen that form. But two eyes is the perfect form for a human being. One nose is the perfect form. One mouth is the perfect form. Two ears is the perfect form. Subhanallah. If three eyes were better for us, then that would have been given to us. If two noses were better for us, that would have been given to us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human beings and insan And as ashraful makhluqat, the best of creations. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And as ashraful makhluqat, indeed, there is a lots of responsibilities on our shoulders. Because we are the best creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that doesn't mean that our appearance should only be good. That doesn't mean that our face should only be good. That doesn't mean our clothes should only be unique and attractive. It doesn't mean that our walking style should only be attractive. No. Yes, these things do make a difference. But the real thing which matters is the situation, the condition of a person. In other words, the manners and the etiquettes a person holds. That is the real qualities which makes a person unique and beautiful. Or it makes a person ugly and dirty. Allahu Akbar. And how important is manners? Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Today's topic we will discuss the beauty of manners in Islam. And what is good manners? How should we adopt this good manners? And what are the harms of bad manners as well? Allahu Akbar. So it's a very unique topic. And as I mentioned, it's especially for the youngsters out there. Because why for the youngsters? Because we are living in an age and time where it's a time of technology, a time where everything has become so fast and everything is having a great impact on the youngsters of today. Whatever good is out there is also having an influence on the youngsters. Whatever bad is out there in the world is also having an impact on the youngsters of today. Allahu Akbar. And indeed, for that, We need to educate ourselves and know that what are these good manners, what are these good qualities which we should instill in our lives, and how should we save ourselves from those bad manners and bad qualities. Because the youngsters are the future of tomorrow. I mean, an old person is going to get older, and he has lived his life. Whatever he needed to do, he has done. But now he is going towards the last moments of his life. Today, now he is going towards the end of his life. And tomorrow, the future is in the youngsters' hands. So if our youngsters are not on the straight path, if our youngsters are not rectified, if our youngsters are not properly taught everything, how do we expect that tomorrow the future is going to be in good hands? Allahu Akbar. So the base of everything will start from instilling good manners and instilling good etiquettes in the youngsters. SubhanAllah. And this can come from many perspectives. The parents can instill it in their children because the children are young. The teachers can instill it in their students. The mentors, the scholars, they can instill it in their students, in those people who are taking tuitions from them, those people who are listening to them. The murshids, the peers, they can instill it in their murideen. SubhanAllah. And likewise, every person who has some sort of responsibility, or he has some status, some maqam, some rank, and there are people below him, he can instill those qualities in those below him, like an employer. He can instill it in his employees. And likewise, the list goes on. SubhanAllah. So it's a very vast topic, and something which needs to be spoken about. And it is something which we should ponder about, something which we need to instill in our lives, in our personalities. In today's time, because I said that technology is so fast, there is so much going on at the moment. You can find everything on social media. You can find everything using the technology which we are given. I mean, the entire world can be found in a mobile. The entire world can be found in a phone. The entire world can be found in a device. Because of that, different thoughts, different misunderstandings, different things, children and youngsters are learning. And when they learn that, they now have to implement it, they now have to take it out. And who they take it out? On their parents. Who they take it out? On their siblings. Who they take it out? On the people around them. So if someone learns something bad, he is going to take it. He's going to show that bad thing to his parents, to his teacher, to his friends, to his siblings. If somebody learns something good, he is going to instill that and teach that good and to his parents, to his siblings, to his teacher, and to his friends. And in English, they say charity begins at home. So in order for you to rectify the world, you know, you should think globally and act individually. What does this mean? That you want to rectify the world. The world is consisting of more than 7 billion people. You cannot do that yourself. So start locally. And the basic unit will obviously be the unit of your house. In your household, start this. You instill good manners. Your siblings will instill those good manners. Your parents, when the house starts instilling good manners, from one house, the next house will start, the third house will start, the fourth house will start. And likewise, the entire community will now be having people who have good values, good etiquettes, good manners. And when that happens, then inshallah azawajal, from house to house, from society, from area, we can then increase and go to country and then the world, inshallah. So everything, as I mentioned, charity begins at home. We have to start within ourselves. Once we start, inshallah, everything else will then become smoothly. Subhanallah, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to instill these good manners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to act upon whatever we are going to learn today. Subhanallah. One beautiful incident to start off today's beautiful and exciting topic. When the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed that a famous warrior of Najd, and Najd is presently known as Riyadh, Du'usur bin Harith Muharibi, this was the name of that person. So he was a very famous warrior. So he gathered an army to attack Medina. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed that he is coming to attack Medina, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went with an army of 400 blessed Sahaba Ikram, and he went to fight against this person. So when Du'usur heard that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has arrived in his city, he ran away and he climbed the mountains along with his army. Allahu Akbar. People were even scared of just the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So one of his soldiers, whose name was Habban, was arrested and he embraced Islam in the blessed court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Suddenly it started raining heavily on that day. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to dry his clothes near a tree. From the top of the mountain, the non-Muslim noticed that the Sahaba-i-Kiram were busy in their activities and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alone at a specific place near that tree. So they went to this person, Dusur, and they said that, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alone. So this is one of the perfect opportunities to go and attack Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma'adallah. Allahu Akbar. So he got encouraged by these people here and they incited him to do this action. So he started uttering the sentence that, may I be killed by Allah Azza wa Jal if I am unable to kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Means he had that firm intention that now whatever happens, I'm going to ma'adallah kill the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he moved towards Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he had a sword in his hand. And when he approached Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spoke whilst raising his sword and he said, now who will save you from me? O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is nobody here, you are alone, I have the sword in my hand, so who is going to save you from me? Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, and look at the reply of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, merciful Allah azza wa jal will save me from you. Allah, Allah, Allah. This is, you know, the beautiful quality of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no sort of distress or discomfort or you know, being afraid or anything, not at all. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that he is the true prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed going to protect his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. So he replied and he said, merciful Allah azza wa jal will save me from you. Subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just uttered these words from his blessed mouth. And Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, the leader of the angels, Sayyidul Malaika, He arrived in the court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what he did was he landed on the earth and he gave Du'usur a punch on his chest. When he punched him on his chest, the sword fell from his hand. Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa then picked up the sword and then he asked, now who will save you from me? Allah Allah. In a moment, the tables turned. A moment ago he was asking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will save you from me? And now my Nabi is asking him, now who will save you from me? Allah Allah. The Usur replied, no one can save me from you. No one can save me from you. I am alone. You have the sword. I'm sure for a moment he must be thinking that I'm finished now. I mean, I came here to ma'adallah kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sword fell. Now he has the sword. So any person will obviously kill me now because I came with the intention of killing him. So I'm sure he must have made up his mind that now I am dead, I'm finished. Allah, Allah, Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mercy on his helplessness. Allah, Allah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not only forgive his mistake, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also returned his sword to him. Subhanallah. Du'usur was impressed with the merciful manners of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so much so that he recited kalima and he embraced Islam immediately. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And when he went back to his people, he then started preaching Islam. Subhanallah. These are the wonders and the beauties of good etiquettes, good manners and good akhlaq. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the sword in his hand. If he wanted, he could take revenge. If he wanted, he could kill that person. That person came to kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He could do anything. But look at the beautiful heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he chose to forgive him. Because he was helpless, there was nothing there. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave him. And what was the outcome? That he saw the beautiful character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and with that, he was so impressed that he became a Muslim, subhanallah. And then he went and he started preaching Islam as well. Allah, Allah. These are the effects which good manners and good character can have on others. Sometimes it's not, you don't only win a battle, or you don't only win if you are shouting, if you are screaming, if you are fighting. No. Many a times you also win when you show love, when you show affection, and when you show care towards the next person. SubhanAllah. My aqidah says Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that if I show him kindness, he is going to accept Islam. And that was one of the reasons why my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose the option of forgiving him and letting him go. SubhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to also instill these beautiful and excellent qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives and our personalities as well. SubhanAllah. Now we will inshallah discuss the ayat of the Holy Quran, which discuss this good etiquettes, good manners in our character, and likewise the various sayings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah. But before that, let us take a short break and we will learn and listen to a very beautiful package, you can say, a very beautiful few minutes of a Muballigh Hafiz Kaleem, and he will discuss inshallah azawajal the beauty which is also related to this beautiful topic of today. And inshallah, as soon as we come back, we will inshallah carry on our beautiful topic. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
It's very, very important, imperative, to teach our children basic knowledge of Islam and the religion. And this will stand them in good stead throughout their life. Now, if you look at priorities today, unfortunately, people, they spend a lot of time ensuring that their child becomes a professional, a doctor maybe, or a different profession. And they exert a lot of energy, they pay for tuition fees, they take that child wherever he needs to go to ensure that he's in pole position to get a job in his field. That person has mastered a science like maths, for example. Complex issues are discussed in science or in medicine, or to become a doctor, we know it's not easy. He's mastered all of this. But that very same person who is respectfully called Dr. Sahib, lawyer, solicitor, when it comes to performing wudu, he doesn't know the basics. Now ask yourself this question. On the Day of Judgment, his credentials as a doctor or a barrister or a lawyer or a solicitor won't come to help him. But if he did not learn the basic knowledge of Islam, if he did not learn how to perform wudu, which is the key to salah, and he did not know about the requirements of salah, the obligations of salah, the wajibat in salah, etc., he'll be in trouble. Now, the wise person is he who lives in the world, he learns the basics of the religion, and more if possible, and he is free to also pursue other things which are jais in Sharia, become professional, become a doctor, for example. But we should not give priority to worldly knowledge and qualifications at the expense of dini knowledge. Otherwise, this will come back to haunt us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow all of us to invest time in learning sacred knowledge and the basic knowledge of Islam at least.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya habibi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. We were discussing the beauty of good manners and good akhlaq, subhanallah. And we did discuss a very beautiful incident which is related to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how beautiful somebody has mentioned, Tere akhlaq par qurban, Tere awsaf par wari, Musliman kya, adubi Tera qail, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Translation is, O beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may I be sacrificed on your good manners and your excellent attributes, that not only your followers, but even non-Muslims were impressed by your excellent qualities and attributes. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Musliman kya adubi tera qail, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. After adopting good manners and good etiquettes, it's not necessary that when we speak to the next person, or when we show those good manners and that good character to the next person, he will also treat us in the same way. No, not necessary. Many a times you will find a situation where you are speaking nice to a person, you smile at him, you say something good towards him, but In return, he says something bad to you, he starts swearing you, he starts shouting you, he gets angry on you, he rebukes you. Look what the Holy Quran has to say about this, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Ayah 34 of Surah Hamim As-Sajda, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Allah ta'ala says, and the good deed and the evil deed will never be equal. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Allah, Allah, Allah. Allah ta'ala says, O listener, repel the evil deed with one which is better. Means remove the bad deed by good deed, subhanAllah. Thereupon the one between whom you and him was enmity, at that time he will become like a close friend, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. In other words, the Holy Quran is telling you that yes, you won't always be in a situation where the next person is giving you the same good character and a cheerful face, basically. But what must you do? Idfa billati hiya ahsan. That you carry on being good. He says something bad, you say something good in return. He says something evil, you say something excellent in return. What will be the outcome? Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Allah, Allah, Allah. That person, between you and him, there was enmity at that time. You will become like a close friend. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. This is one quality. If we can instill this quality in our hearts and minds, Allah, so many problems will be solved. It is so difficult to instill this quality. I mean, if the next person says something to us, then the first thing we want to do is answer him, shout him, say something, rebuke him, and attack him with any way possible. If it's verbally, we'll do it verbally. If it's physically, we'll do it physically. And so many bad things we'll do to that person. Allah, Allah, just this one quality. He did something bad to you, you do something good. If we can instill this quality, by Allah, I am saying, many problems will be solved. Many houses will be saved. Many family ties will be settled down. Many relationships will not break. Many problems will be removed. Just this one beautiful quality which the Holy Quran has mentioned. Allahu Akbar. And yes, many a times, if we show people the excellent quality and good character, it maybe not the first time, maybe not the second time, but sometime or the other, it's going to have an impact on that person's heart. And the moment it has an impact, that will be your winning chance, and he will then start turning towards your words, and inshallah azawajal, he will become a good person, subhanAllah. A beautiful example of this is very beautifully mentioned. Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad bin Muhammad al-Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has mentioned in Ihya al-Ulum Sharif, subhanAllah. He mentioned Sayyidina Muhammad bin Zakariya, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has stated, once I went to Ibn Aisha, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and Sayyidina Ibn Aisha was returning home from the masjid after he performed Salatul Maghrib. And on the way, he saw a young Qurayshi, Allah, who belonged to the Quraysh, a very respected and noble tribe, subhanAllah. And he was highly intoxicated. And in that intoxication, he did an immoral thing to a woman. And the woman was crying, Allah. So people started, you know, going around him and surrounding him. And people wanted to, you know, hit him and push him and pull him away and all those kind of things. Allahu Akbar. So Sayyidina Ibn Aisha, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, recognized him and hugged him with love, subhanAllah, and then freed him from the people and took him to his house. Allah, when that person reached his house, Sayyidina Ibn Aisha, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, made him sleep. And after sleeping, when he woke up and he regained his consciousness, you know, the intoxication wore off and now he was back to his senses, and he knew that the shameless act he did in the state of intoxication, Allahu Akbar, he became ashamed, he started weeping, he started crying, and he wanted to leave. So then Ibn Aisha, rahmatullahi ta'ala, stopped him and presented him and gave him neki ki da'wat, means invited him towards righteousness. And he said in a very kind and gentle manner, and he said, O son, you are a Qurayshi, your nobility is great, just ponder and think over the great descendant. I mean, think which family you belong to. Think of your forefathers. Think of the great lineage you belong to. You are a respectable person. You belong to a respectable family, a respected family. Allahu Akbar. This is, dear son, fear Allah Azza wa Jal and repent of drinking wine and all the other sins forever. That young Qureshi was then deeply ashamed, and he started having remorse in his heart, and he repented tearfully, and he swore an oath, means he took a qasam, to inshallah azza wa jal stay away from alcohol and other sins as well. He rahmatullahi ta'ala, he then kissed that man's forehead with affection, with muhabbah, and then encouraged him. And this person was deeply impressed. And what was the outcome? He started adopting the company of Sayyidina Ibn Aisha rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and then he was given the task of writing down the blessed ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Look how beautiful this was. I mean, he was a person who was intoxicated, and he did a faulty act with a woman. So people just wanted to, you know, maybe kill him even. If at that moment Sayyidina Ibn Aisha rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi also went, and he also joined the people and maybe hit him or shunned him or, you know, did whatever the people were also doing, then this would not be the outcome. But instead what he did was he took that person home and he slept. When he came to his conscience, he advised him and told him, listen, what you were doing was wrong. And his method of speaking was also not a harsh tone or a rough tone. No, the method of speaking was a kind and gentle tone. And he made him understand that, listen, what you did was very wrong. And when he realized his mistake, he made tawbah. And when he made tawbah, he then repented. And how he repented? He repented in such a way that he adopted the company of a great saint. And after adopting the company, what was the outcome? That he was then given the task to write the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Compare the two situations. One time, he was an intoxicated person. He could have remained in that state for we don't know how long. But one good quality which Sayyidina Ibn Aisha had to show love and affection and muhabbat towards him and give him neki ki dawat, call him towards righteousness in a beautiful and nice way. What change it made that an intoxicating person, a drunkard, a person who drinks, now became a person who writes the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how much reward there is in writing the blessed hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So sometimes we don't realize, but people notice everything. Our way of speaking, our way of talking, our way of walking, everything people realize. And when people are realizing everything, your small bad habit or bad manner can remove and put people far away from you. And your one good quality can call 1,000 people towards you. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So, and we don't know that who will be affected because of our good qualities. And maybe it can be a turning point in a person's life. Maybe a person can look at us and he will repent from his sins. Maybe a person will look at us and he will then go and ask forgiveness from his parents, his siblings, his friends or something. Maybe a person will look at our qualities, our good manners, our good character, and then he will start feeling remorse and ashamed in his heart, and maybe he will start rectifying himself. Yes, there is a possibility to all of these maybes, but can we do that? Can we become the possibility? Can we give the next person the chance that he should look at our good qualities and then instill it in his heart and life? So every person knows himself. Every person, you know, your heart knows you, you know your heart. You know what bad you did, what good you are doing, what is your manners, what is your etiquette, you know, how many people you fought with, what is your way of approaching, what is your way of speaking, what do, how do you tackle issues, everything you know. So now sit down and ask yourself that how many good manners do I have? How many bad manners do I have? Let me give you a brief explanation, something quickly you must ask yourself. Put a list of all your habits and your manners. And ask yourself that if I do this, will everyone, people around me, will they be impressed? Will they get happy? Or will they start disliking it? Will they move away from me? Will they not like this quality? If the question is no, they will start coming towards me. They will start liking this action. They will start trying to implement it in their lives. Then yes, it's a good quality. Speaking the truth is a good quality. It's a good manners. Having the ability of speaking proper things and good things is good qualities. Knowing how to walk properly, how to sit properly, how to eat properly, how to deal with others properly, how to converse properly, how you treat your parents, how you treat your children, how you treat your siblings, how you treat your friends. These all come under good manners and Islamic good qualities. If you have these kind of qualities, then yes, you have these good qualities. But if you are speaking to your parent, then ask yourself that if somebody sees me speaking like this to my parent, will he be impressed? Will he dislike me? Will he move away from me? If the question is no, he will be impressed, he will like it, then it's a good way you are speaking to your parents. Maybe you are speaking out of love. But if you feel that no, he is not going to like it, then it means that the way you are speaking is not a proper way. Or ask yourself, the way you'll speak to a respectable person, the way you'll speak to someone who you met and he's a very great person, a unique personality, do you speak in that same way to your siblings, to your parents, to your relatives, to your friends, to your people around you? If the answer is yes, that means yes, you have these good qualities. If the answer is no, it means unfortunately, with that one person you showed good qualities, good manners, but with everyone else you have the bad manners. Allahu Akbar. So the next time you do something, or if you want to judge yourself, then make a list and then ask that, will people be pleased with this? Would everyone be pleased with this? What will Allah and His Rasul be pleased with it? If yes, then it's a good quality. And if no, then refrain from that bad quality. Subhanallah. Let's listen to some beautiful sayings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding good manners, good etiquettes, good character. And then inshallah azawajal, we will motivate ourselves to instill these good manners. Subhanallah. Before we come to the blessed ahadith, one saying of a pious man, and he has mentioned that good manners makes even a stranger your friend, and bad manners makes even your friends strangers. Allahu Akbar. And indeed, that's the truth. You show somebody good manners, he doesn't know you, you don't know him, he will start coming towards you, there will come a time where you will have a close bond. And you have friends, you have those around you, your loved ones, you start showing them bad manners, bad way you treat them, you will see slowly, slowly, they will start moving away from you. Subhanallah. Four beautiful ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, you cannot please people by your wealth, but your cheerfulness and good manners can please them. Subhanallah. Number two, on the day of judgment, there will be no other deed that weighs heavier on the scale of deeds of a believer than good manners. No other deed than good manners. Subhanallah. Number three, the perfect believers in iman, means in faith, are those who have good manners. Subhanallah. And number four, those whose manners are the best amongst you will be most favorite to me and will be nearest to me on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Look at the last two blessed ahadith. Nabi Sallam says, the perfect believers in iman are those who have good manners. Yes, we are Muslims, but we are just Muslims by name. We are supposed to be Muslims by our actions. We are supposed to be Muslims by our character. We are supposed to be Muslims by our etiquettes and our manners. And how are we going to be Muslims in that way? Is if we act upon the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the lifestyle of the Sahaba al-Kiram. If we act upon the teachings of Islam, then yes, we are fit to call ourselves Muslims by nature, by personality, by etiquette, by manner, and by names. Otherwise, we are just Muslims by names. Yes, you must have seen many people around you, in your society, in your area, that when you look at him, you don't, the first thing comes to your mind, the question, is he a Muslim or not? Means by his appearance, he doesn't even look like a Muslim. How will you expect his etiquette and manners to be like those of Muslims? In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's last hadith, that those whose manners are best amongst you, that person will be the most favorite to me and will be the nearest to me on the day of judgment. I mean, which person doesn't want to be the favorite of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Which person doesn't want to be closest to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Today, if there are few children and out of love, the father says, this son is my favorite child. And they're all small, small children, you know. They'll start fighting. Or they'll start saying, no, I want to become the favorite one. I want to become the favorite one, you know. Yeah, the daughter will come. Yeah, the son will come. No, daddy, I want to become the favorite one. And that's how it is. Because we all like to be the favorite one in our parents' eyes. The favorite one in siblings' eyes. The favorite one amongst people. Yes, we like to be the favorite one amongst people. Don't we want to be the favorite one in the court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The favorite one to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What's the method? Is instill good manners. The one who has the most good manners, he will be, you know, the favorite one to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then closer to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who is closest to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment, can you ever think that he is going to suffer on that day? Can you ever think he is going to be in punishment? You ever think that he is going to be in any worry? Why will he be in worry when he is closest to the best of the creation, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? When he is closest to that personality because of whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy on many and billions and millions of his ummatis and the people on the Day of Judgment. We are closest to that personality because of whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the entire universe. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So if you are close to that personality, there is no even thought that you will be involved in any punishment, to any affliction, any difficulty, then why don't you want to be close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If you want to be close to him, then here's your method. And what's that method? Is instill these good values, good etiquettes, good characters, and good manners in your lives. Subhanallah, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to instill these good manners, and not just but by mere lip service, but properly we should instill these good manners in our lives, in our personalities, in our hearts, and inshallah to those around us as well. Subhanallah. Now a question comes to mind, that what is good manners? I mean, you will say that Munasa, you are speaking so long about good manners, good manners, good manners. So what is this good manners? Yes, we learned some incidents which gives us an idea of good manners, but the proper definition, let's learn from the best of the teachers of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is none other than the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. A person once humbly asked a question from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about good manners. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this ayah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Khuzil afwa wa'amur bil'urfi wa'a'arid anil jahileen. Subhanallah. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, adopt forgiveness and command to do good and turn away from the ignorant ones. These three qualities. Adopt forgiveness, command to do good, and turn away from the ignorant ones. This was the answer Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave when somebody asked about good manners. Subhanallah. Likewise, Sayyidina Ali al-Murtada, Karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-Kareem, has said, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, should I not guide you about the good manners of the people of the past and the future? So he said, I humbly replied, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do guide me about it. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bestow upon the one who deprives you, forgive the one who oppresses you, and establish relations with the one who breaks off relations with you. Allah, 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 Allah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Bestow upon the one who deprives you. Somebody is not giving you anything, you give him in return. Forgive the one who oppresses you. Someone did something bad to you, you forgive him, you overlooked it, and you say, no problem, we carry on. And establish relations with the one who breaks off relations with you. He cut ties with you, you still go and hug him, you still go and meet him. If we can adopt these three qualities in our lives, leave the society, this entire world will become an excellent place to live. The entire world will become a unique and beautiful place, subhanAllah. So we were discussing that the good manners which a person has, good character a person has, it doesn't only affect you. It affects the people around you as well. They also benefit. They also gain immense benefit from your good manners. And a beautiful incident to explain this. Once the prisoners of the tribe Tay were brought to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a girl prisoner stood up and humbly said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you consider it better to free me and do not make the tribes of Arab laugh at me. Why? Because I am the daughter of Hatim Tai, the chief of my tribe. Undoubtedly, my father used to support his tribe, free prisoners, satiate the hungry, spread salam, and never let any needy person go back without fulfilling his need. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O girl, this is the attribute of those who have true faith, those who have true iman. If your father had been Muslim, I would have made dua of mercy for him. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, free this girl. Why? Because her father used to like good manners. And Allah azza wa jal also likes good manners. Then he says, I swear to the one in whose power my soul is, only well-mannered person will enter paradise, will enter Jannah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So Hatim Tai wasn't a Muslim, But he had good manners, and who benefited from it was his daughter, that she was set free by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many a times, we have good characters, we have good manners, we have good etiquette, and not necessarily it only benefits us, it can also benefit those around us and those in our surroundings as well. Likewise, if a person has bad habits, the effects go to those around him, his relatives, his family members, his family, his nation, everyone, they also be affected because of his bad manners and his bad character. Allahu Akbar. And the harms of bad manners are immense. There are lots of harms which a person faces if he has bad manners, bad character, and bad etiquette. Few of them we will mention now, that bad manners are a curse. Bad manners itself is a bad practice, and it's also a means of many other bad practices. Untruth, dishonesty, and breaking promises, these are all the branches of bad manners. Bad manners bring discord amongst one another. You will start fighting, you will start breaking ties. Bad manners create malice, jealousy, and separation from one another. So, and many other problems will come if you don't have manners. So, try to rectify yourself. Become a good person, have good manners, good character, good etiquette. And automatically you will start saving yourself from many other sins, many other things which are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to take whatever we have learned today. And my message, I'm leaving you with a message. Every day we will leave what a message in every episode, and especially for the youngsters. The message is, yes, we are Muslims. We call ourselves Muslims. Our names are Muslim names. But are we Muslims by our manners? Are we Muslims by our characteristics? Are we Muslims by our actions and our etiquettes? And how will we be Muslims by our etiquettes if we act upon whatever we learn today? Forgive others, grant others, someone did something wrong to you, you treat him in a good way, someone did something bad to you, you treat him in a nice way, somebody didn't give you anything, you go and give him. Somebody in front of you, you keep on saying good words to him, you keep on saying beautiful words to him, you forgive those in front of you, you try and make your life beautiful. And then you count on the small things as well, your manners of eating, your manners of drinking, your manners of walking, sleeping, talking, conversing, all these kind of things will fall under this. If all of these become good, then yes, you can call yourself a Muslim by nature, by personality, by etiquettes, by attributes, by qualities, and by name. So my question, which I'm leaving you all today with, is ask yourself this question: am I a Muslim by manners and character as well, or am I just a Muslim by name? If you are just a Muslim by name, then from now, make tawbah of all the wrong things you did. Go and ask for forgiveness for all those whose heart you have hurt, and then from today, try and strive to adopt these good manners and good etiquette in your lives, and instill these good values in your personalities as well. Alhamdulillah, with these few words, we are coming towards the conclusion of our beautiful episode. And there are many beautiful discussions which we can discuss, but inshallah azawajal, we will discuss it for another time. Till then, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you happy, remain happy, be happy, stay happy, be positive, think positive, stay positive. And remember, instill the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your heart, and spread this love to your loved ones as well, those around you, because the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the base of your iman and the base of everything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm on maslaki haq, maslaki ahl sunnat wal jama'at, and may we always remain on the straight and correct path. Ameen, 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 bijahi Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The light of guidance, 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 the light of guidance.